Blog Talk Radio.
About to blow.
up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports and Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William M.O. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, glad to be on, as usual.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming on the show. This is the Super Bowl Eve, and I'm glad to have you all on the show. On today's show, we'll you know, give us our thoughts, our preview of the Super Bowl coming up between the San Francisco 49ers and, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, we'll also talk about the NBA trading deadline and the blockbuster move the Knicks did to improve the bench. We'll also talk about the Royal Rumble that went down and the aftermath involving The Rock and Cody Rhodes and, you know, Roman Reigns and so forth and so forth. So, you know, we'll talk about any of these topics and more. But, of course, most importantly, if you want to talk about those aforementioned topics and then some, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. We definitely would love to hear from you. But with that said, before we go to the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl preview, I just remembered something that happened in the world of entertainment. And then if you remember a few weeks ago, I was telling you that Happy Days debuted 50 years ago this year. And just recently, the 50th anniversary of another popular TV show, you know, debuted. It might have been on the 8th of February, if I'm not mistaken, 1974. But I'll give you, let's see, three guesses to figure out what it is.
Wait, what was the question again? You said that there was another show that debuted around the same time as Happy Days?
Yep.
What was the year?
1974. Need I say more?
1974. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This was a sitcom.
Yes, it's a sitcom.
Didn't you? I could have sworn you gave this answer already.
I might have. But let's see if your memory is good.
Didn't you say it was one of the either? I think you said it was Good Times. No,
could be. Is that one of your guesses that you want to give?
I think you already gave the answer. Good Times.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if you're right. Here's the answer.
I believe that was my first guess when you originally asked the question a couple of weeks ago, and then you said it was Happy Days, I believe.
Well, yes, it was Happy Days.
Yeah.
But now, yep, it is the Good Times anniversary just popped up a few days ago. So, two iconic shows.
Yep.
Debuted in 1974, which is also a sad thing to say that Happy Days and Good Times it's been so long the Knicks haven't won a championship that even Good Times and Happy Days didn't even debut. But I guess we'll get more into the Knicks talk momentarily. But yeah, it's you know, I guess since we're talking about it, might as well talk about it a little bit. I mean, it was a very iconic show. This was like the first show where, you know, you have a black nuclear family. Even though apparently Norman Lear wanted it to be just, you know, Florida Evans character, you know, played by Esther Rolle, to be a single mom. But you know, she felt like it would be a good image for, you know, for there to be a home where there's a black father, black mother, you know, who love their kids, and no matter what situation they go through, you know, they provide for their families, and you know, they have that loving bond with each other. So that show, you know, was very iconic. It was a loosely based spinoff of Maude, because Bea Arthur's character debuted on All in the Family. So, you know, all these iconic shows, you know, Good Times, All in the Family, The Jeffersons, I mean, the Maude, all those iconic shows were all, you know, under that All in the Family / Norman Lear umbrella, you know, so another iconic show.
Yep.
But, yeah, let's go from one iconic show to hopefully an iconic sporting event tomorrow. And, of course, we're talking about this year's upcoming Super Bowl. You excited for it?
Oh, yeah. I'm well, actually, no.
Yeah, that's about to say. I'm about to say, you're right, man. I know you're not excited. The Giants is not in there.
I mean, this is the second time we're seeing these two teams play
mm-hmm.
in the Super Bowl. And I could care less about either team, but I guess I'll root for the 49ers since they are the NFC, and I don't want to see the Chiefs win another championship. So I guess I'll be rooting for the Niners, but really don't care less. These two teams could be both disqualified for all I care.
Hey, man, what can I say? When you're right, you're right. I mean, normally I'd be rooting for, you know, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, since he's technically a Mets fan, even though, you know, he recently admitted that the Mets is his third best team, his third favorite baseball team. Make that make sense? I think
yeah.
he said the Royals and maybe the Rangers. Rangers might be the second team. He said they'll quote me on it, but I think he was saying that the Royals, possibly the Rangers, and then the Mets is his third favorite team. Like, so to me, I saw this on I think on the TV show, on a radio show, maybe they posed a question like, is it possible for you to have, I might be asking why, Baseball Night in New York probably, but yeah, they were asking like, is it possible for you to have, you know, multiple favorite teams in the same sport? What's your thought? I'll give you my thoughts after that.
Multiple favorite teams in the same sport?
In the same sport.
No, I don't think I couldn't do it. I mean, that shows that you're not committed. And you're not really a diehard. You don't have an allegiance. You have allegiance to more than one team, which shows that you're a bandwagon fan, I guess.
What do you think I'm gonna say?
Right, gonna say the same thing.
You darn right. I'm gonna say the same thing, because the whole point of being a diehard fan is that you support your team win or lose or draw. You don't have multiple teams, but multiple
yeah,
favorite teams
sense.
In the same. Like, so if they face each other, like the 2015 World Series, Royals versus the Mets, well, who are you going to root for? That's your you right there. Whoever you're going to root for, if you have to choose between one or the other, who are you going to root for? That's your team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could say, oh, you know, since this team is in my division, or not my division, in my league, maybe I'll root for them casually, or, you know, I'm a transplanted New Yorker, you know, but I'm in Florida, but, you know, I'm still, you know, okay, I'll go to the Rays or the Marlin games, but I'm still a Yankee / Mets fan or whatever. I mean, you could kind of understand that, like, you moved and you kind of stick with your team, but you're not really into the other team. But it's like, but in that sense, you're not even really a fan. There's no such thing as being a diehard fan with multiple teams in the same sport. Like it just doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It don't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It just literally doesn't make sense. It's laughable. It's laughable. I mean, but this is the era that we live in where they create the word frenemies. Like, back in the days, you either had friends or you had enemies. You had no frenemies. Like, you can't be my friend and my enemy at the same time. You know what I'm saying? It's like being a married bachelor. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, it can't even be an oxymoron. It's illogical. Like, I mean, come on. Like, well, we can spend a whole day talking about that. But yeah, let's get back on track here. And I agree with you, man. Like, normally I'd be rooting for the Chiefs because they were kind of like the Red Sox of the early 2000s. You know, they were like the underdog kind of team that, you know, kind of, you know, rise. Or the Warriors with Steph Curry. You know, they were a team on the rise. They win their first championship. You're rooting for them because that team never won anything or haven't won in a long time. But then they become what you hate. They become that evil empire type team, and they start winning, and, you know, they start feeling themselves. So it's like, man, this is all hat. You guys already won so many times already. So it's like, you know, it doesn't have that flavor anymore. You're not the underdogs anymore. Like, there's no point. The only way I could root for a team that's a dynasty like that or a pseudo-dynasty is if it's my little team that I root for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't have that problem because I've never seen any of my teams win in the past 30, 40, 50 plus years. So I'm just assuming how I would feel about that because, unfortunately, I don't know that feeling. You would have that feeling, but I don't.
Yeah, my team's got one more than your team.
Cue the violins. Oh, well, I guess I'll go another 50 years without my team winning a championship.
Well, at least we both root for the Knicks, and the Knicks look like they are in the right track of possibly contending for a title this year and in future years.
Yeah, and we're going to shift gears to that momentarily. But, okay, who you think's going to win? Do you think the San Francisco 49ers or the Kansas City Swifties? I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs. Who you think's going to win this Super Bowl?
You know, I want to root for the 49ers to win, but I think Chiefs are going to win it, unfortunately.
Man, you read my script. I mean, so far we've been on the same wavelength so far today, man. Like, yeah, I mean, 49ers, they haven't won since the Joe Montana era. So, yeah, they know a thing or two about winning a lot, in the 20th century, you know. But, yeah, they haven't won in a long time. They've had a couple of Super Bowl appearances recently, but they haven't won the big one in like decades. And then you had the Chiefs who, you know, prior to, Patrick Mahomes, I should say, they didn't win until like 50 years ago. Like what? It was in 1970. And then afterwards, now Mahomes is trying to win, I think, for the third out of 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yeah. Yep.
You know, what can you say? I think Mahomes is going to win it again. And then, of course, now Mahomes this year, for the first time ever, he's being sidelined not only by his Kelsey, but, of course, his girl right now, Taylor Swift. And, you know, I mean, the good thing is, you know, you're going to have a lot of eyeballs, you know, watching the game. And actually might stick around and watch the whole game because normally, you know, people, you know, the people who are not diehard football fans, they come for the halftime, see who's performing, and then who's the celebrities in the, you know, in the stands. And after the halftime show's over, they just, you know, go to sleep or leave the Super Bowl parties and, you know, just do whatever they want to do, you know. But now there's a vested interest in who wins the Super Bowl, you know, because they want to see Taylor Swift's reaction, you know, if her man wins, which most likely he will win another one tomorrow night. So, yeah, and then plus it's going to be in Las Vegas, Allegiant Field, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah.
Yeah, it should be
very interesting.
It should be a lot of viewers tuning in for that game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, not only for the game itself, but for Taylor Swift.
Yep, and how many reactions they're going to show of her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could mark it down. Chiefs is definitely going to win it. Chiefs is definitely going to win it. And if you know, the Chiefs win, would that be considered an EGOT for Taylor Swift? You know, because she's going to get a Grammy, she's going to get I would assume eventually an Oscar at one point. You know,
Oscar. We'll see.
You never know. You never know. It's possible.
Some
movies. Maybe pop up on a popular show. They revive Modern Family, a show that's like very mainstream and popular. Maybe Abbott Elementary. Who knows? Maybe she might pop up on the show, and you'll get that Emmy that way. So who knows?
She would need to win an Emmy and an Oscar and a Tony.
Hey, if she's a singer, she can go on Broadway, get the Tony right there.
It's possible.
Hey, you never know. And maybe Travis Kelce might win the MVP award, but I doubt it with Mahomes, so who knows. But yeah, as long as he gets another ring, I guess that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And who knows?
Happen tomorrow.
He might get a ring tomorrow, and who knows? She might get a ring tomorrow in the postgame ceremony.
Yeah. Could happen.
You know, before, if I was actually right, people are going to be like, yo, Will's in the know, man. He knows, man. He you know, he's cool with them. He's rubbing shoulders with them. He gave them the inside scoop.
And they might fly you down there and make
you
the best man.
You don't know. Maybe, you know. But,
you may be the pastor to that wedding.
You never know. If you be the ring bearer, I'll do it. They're going to be getting a lot of rings tomorrow, so, you know, they might need someone to pass you the ring and the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm not qualified because, you know, my team hasn't won a Vince Lombardi trophy in, like, since 1969, so.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so. But, should be interesting Super Bowl, even though neither of us has a vested interest since the Giants or the Jets aren't in there. So, team win. But switching gears, the Knicks is back, man. The Knicks is back. You know,
they definitely are.
And unfortunately, the injury bug is you know, with them as well, but. The Knicks, man, they pull off a blockbuster move on Thursday afternoon. They acquired Bojan Bogdanović. Forgive me if I butcher his name. And, of course, an old friend of ours, Bogdanović, and then, of course, Alec Burks, the former, now he's a two-time Knick. With a trade for with the Pistons, we traded away Grimes, we traded away Fournier, who can now, you know, leave the witness protection agency from Tom Thibodeau, because Tom Thibodeau didn't want to use him. I think only in 3 games this whole year.
Now he gets to go play somewhere else and maybe start.
Mm-hmm. Last time I heard the other one, he might sign with the Magic. Because I think he got waived, or he's about to get waived from Toronto.
Oh, really? Oh.
So I heard there's rumors he might sign with the Magic. I don't know if that's official yet or if that's just a rumor.
Well, he's familiar with that organization since he's played with them.
Mm-hmm. Flynn, Malachi Flynn. He got traded. We got him from the Ananobi trade. And, we traded Ryan Arciado, however you pronounce it, the guy's name. You know, he used to be on, Brunson and Hart and, Villanova team. He got traded there. And most importantly, the Knicks only gave up 2 second-round picks. So Knicks still have about, what, 8 first-round picks, and, they didn't lose any of them. So
that's good.
Basically, this will give them – this will put them in a prime position for the offseason if, a disgruntled superstar wants to get traded to the Knicks. And if, God willing, Knicks can get to the NBA Finals – hopefully win it, against all the odds. This will increase the chances of the Knicks getting the final piece of the puzzle and finally ending this drought.
Yeah, well, we definitely need to get healthy right now because right now we have a lot of guys out. A lot of our big guys, Hartenstein is out now.
Mm-hmm.
You got Robinson is still out.
Ananobi, he got surgery.
Yeah,
recently.
Ananobi, and of course Randall. So we need to get our full roster back so that way we can even think about going to the NBA Finals right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the trades. I do like us getting Bogdanović. I think he can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
When they're double or triple team in Brunson. Now Brunson has another weapon to kick it out to,
mm-hmm.
from the outside. So I think Bogdanović is gonna bring more scoring to this team. But we need some of the other guys back so that way we can be at full strength. Because tonight against the Pacers, you saw that we were missing some scoring and missing some defense.
Yep. And like you said, Brunson finally came back from missing a game or two. But because of the injury, the ankle injury, and, we lost the Mavericks as a result, and, Brunson returned, scored 39 points. He did all he could, but unfortunately it wasn't enough. Burks, usually scored 12 points a game so far this year. He scored 22 points. And then Bogdanović in his Knicks debut, he scored only 11. For the season, he was averaging with the Pistons. He was averaging 20 points, but he scored 11 off the bench, and the Knicks have to rebound because Monday night they're gonna be. On the road against the Houston Rockets, a team we're very familiar with in the NBA Finals in 94. The tip-off is going to be at 8 o'clock. And the Knicks are going to try to bounce back. And like you say, I like the move that they did. Obviously it's not, a star player, like DeJounte Murray or Donovan Mitchell, as we've been hearing throughout this whole season. But this move, is a step in the right direction. It improves the bench. You got Bogdanović who could start if they choose to, and in the absence of Ananobi and Randall from the lineup. Today's game they had Taj Gibson who signed a second 10-day contract with the Knicks. He started in place the guys who are out, you know, instead of Bogdanovich. But, yeah, unfortunately, the Knicks lost 125-111 at the Garden. So Knicks are going to try to rebound, you know, on Monday night in Houston. So, you know, we'll see what happened with that. And, you know, congrats to Jalen Brunson finally becoming an All-Star.
Yeah, congrats.
Long overdue, you know. So, yeah, man, it's gonna be exciting. The All-Star game's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be Brunson's gonna have his first All-Star, you know, his All-Star debut. Randall's hurt. You know, he got named to his third out of, I think, 5 years All-Star game. So congrats to him.
Also, Brunson's going to be in the three-point contest as well.
Oh, yes, that's true. So, yeah, congrats to him. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, and the East and the West, you know, is back, you know, in the All-Star game. East versus West teams are back instead of Team LeBron versus Team Giannis or Team Curry versus Team LeBron, even though they're in the same league. Like, I mean, to me, it was always a dumb idea because it's like you're putting star players above the league. You know, you're supposed to play for pride. You're not supposed to play, you know, just to impress the two top players of the team. You know what I mean? Like, it never made sense to me because when you're on an All-Star game, it's like it doesn't matter how great of a player you are. It's like you got to play the team sport and play with your teams.
Yeah.
The whole thing, Team LeBron versus Team Giannis or Team LeBron versus Team Curry, it's like you essentially have two West Coast teams facing each other with a mismatch of Eastern Conference and Western Conference players on each other's teams. Like, it just didn't make any sense. I know the players bounce around all over the place, so there's no league loyalty, you know, as it was in the past, back in the days when, you know, teams didn't create these super teams and teams literally, you know, like, you know, fought tooth and nail against teams and had legit rivalries, you know, instead of saying, hey, you know, this team eliminated me in the playoffs. You know what? I'm going to sign with the Warriors next year. You know what I mean? Like, or you know, you get your butt kicked around with the team you grew up, your hometown team. So you're like, you know what? I'm taking my talents to South Beach. It's like, you know, it's like, come on. Just stop, you know, like creating all these super teams, you know. It should be a last resort.
Yeah.
Resort, yeah, I should say. And I think I saw something yesterday. I didn't get a chance to read the article, but I think I read somewhere that John Stockton, you know, accused LeBron of, you know, title chasing, you know, because, you know, instead of Jordan and players like him back in the days, you know, they stick with their team and, you know, they try to, you know, bring a title to them. Instead of LeBron, you know, he just bounced around all over the place. You know, just the title chase. You know what I mean? But, I mean, it's just a new era. Like,
yeah, he's got a point. I mean, if you look at the players LeBron has played with.
He's played with everybody.
Miami, he had Bosh and Wade, mm-hmm. Ray Allen. Then he
had
Cleveland.
Shaq in Cleveland.
Yeah, but he didn't win with Shaq. I'm talking about as far as winning a championship. You know, like the super teams that he had.
Kyrie.
You got Kyrie. He had Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
J.R. Smith. Now in the Lakers, when he won the championship, he had the
AD.
AD. Who else was on that team? Was someone else on that team also?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But,
I mean,
he always
has help.
He always has help.
Yeah.
for the top guy, you know, on his team, I mean, obviously you need help. I mean, you can't win a title by yourself, but, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's inorganic. You know, it's like, even this conversation, oh my goodness, the Lakers aren't doing good. Who the Lakers guy get to help LeBron? Like, he's LeBron James. Like, and I said that, and I said this years ago. I said this years ago on this show, Sports Urban Legend, and even on the YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV, when I said basically, like, you know, people were saying, like, LeBron's not going to win a title. And I'm like, and this was before he won the title. I said, and I have the receipt to prove it, that I said, like, even in Cleveland, he could get players to come over to go over to him. So him going to the Lakers, which is essentially the Yankees of basketball in the Western Conference, they can get anybody. The Lakers have a history of getting the best players, especially centers, superstar players to come to them. And LeBron had a history of getting star players to come to him, even in Cleveland. And this was even before the super team in Miami. So to me, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a dumb argument to say, oh, they can't win a championship, or he can't get no stars to come over to the Lakers. And I said this before they even won it that year. But hey, what can you say? I can say that I have the receipts to prove that what I said. But yeah, hopefully. I just remember something too. So yeah, the Lakers snapped the Knicks winning streak. You know, the 9-game winning streak. And after the game, you know, LeBron James was wearing a Knicks towel. Some people were saying that, you know, he was trying to send the Lakers a subliminal message of saying, oh, you know, you better, you know, make some moves in the trading deadline, which they didn't, or he's going to go to the Knicks potentially. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think it was just coincidence he put the towel, or do you think he was trying to send a message?
No. I mean, I see him with a towel on his shoulder after most games, so I don't think that was anything. Maybe it was just him just warming himself out after the game, you know, because he was sweaty. Well, what about that? You know, I don't think it was he was trying to send a message to the Lakers front office. I mean, people look a little too deep into things sometimes when it doesn't mean anything.
Then why he just take a Laker one with no name on it?
Was there Laker? I don't even know if there was Laker towels there. Were there? They were playing in the Garden, I think.
I know. Yeah, I know he was playing in the Garden, and I'm pretty sure that whoever in the Garden gave him the thing, and he used it. But like,
I don't know. I just think it's that people look into too deep into things. I don't make a big deal of it. I don't think it was him trying to send a message to the Lakers. The Lakers also, by breaking news, by the way, it looks like what's his name is going to the Lakers.
Dinwiddie
is going to Lakers. Yeah.
Right.
That's a good pickup.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good pickup.
After you got traded away from the Nets.
So that will add some scoring to the Lakers. Much needed
mm-hmm.
scoring to that team.
Definitely. And then shifting gears to the Nets briefly. The Nets, they beat the Spurs, and as a result of their 123-103 victory, the Spurs have a 7-game losing streak. Cam Thomas, he has 25 points in the victory. Dennis Schroeder, in his debut, had a double-double for the Nets when he scored 15 points to go along with 12 assists, and they defeat Wembanyama, you know, the rookie. Even though the rookie had, like, I think, what was it, 21 points or so, 21 points and only 4 rebounds, even though he's 7'3", like, how do you just score? how do you only have 4 rebounds and you're 7'3"? Like, you're tripping. You're gonna pick up 5 rebounds. How you only have 4 rebounds in a game?
Yeah.
Unless you're playing against Shaq or something. Like, how you only have 4 rebounds? That's embarrassing, man. Or in the words of Charles Barkley, man, that's terrible. That's terrible. Like, seriously, how you only have 4 rebounds? No wonder you lost. You got your center, your 7'3" center only grabbing 4 boards in the game. Not 4 offensive rebounds, 4 rebounds in total.
Yeah, and
the previous game he only had 1 rebound against Orlando.
Yeah, that's not good.
Nah, man, come on, man. This guy's overrated. How you gonna be a 7'3" center and you have 4 rebounds in a loss, and then the game prior to that against Orlando you only have 1 rebound? Like, nah, man. Come on, bro. You got to do better than that. Even I could get more than a rebound if I played in the NBA.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to improve his rebounding for sure.
Nah, man. Come on.
But I think, he has room to improve. You know, he's 20 years old. He'll bulk up a little bit more. And he'll get better as far as rebounding and defense. I mean, he has a long way to go, but he has potential.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely has the potential, especially scoring-wise. But, yeah, man, defense and rebounding is all about effort, man. You got to step up your game rebounding-wise.
Yeah. Well, rebounding, it's not about being tall or it's not being about being jump. It's not jumping up. It's just boxing
it sure
out. It's boxing out. You gotta put yourself in the right position to grab the rebounds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even small guards will get rebounds over big guys. You know?
Exactly. That's exactly my point. Like, yeah, he definitely got stuff over in that category. But, yeah, shifting gears.
But he is averaging 10 rebounds for the season.
What do you think?
He's averaging 10 rebounds for the season, it looks like. So maybe those two other games were just off games for him.
Let me see that.
Yeah, I see his season average is 10 rebounds a game.
Right, well, then I stand corrected. I guess he had off days,
Yeah, okay.
Well, I can admit when I'm wrong. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, 10, you're right, 10. So, yeah, he's averaging 2.3 points a game.
And you also call him overrated. You gotta watch your words sometime, Will.
I didn't say he's overrated.
You said you think he might be overrated or something like that. You said.
I didn't say he was overrated. Did I say he was overrated?
No, you said you think he might be overrated or something. You said something like that.
If I said that, then I mean, my bad. Having 1 rebound and having 3 rebounds a game, per game, and you 7'3" is a. That's a bad look, but I can say I'm wrong. I can't remember.
On the season, he's averaging 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 blocks. That's really good. Those are good numbers.
So he's living up to the hype.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wrong, and hey, it's good to be wrong sometimes. And hey, I give you credit for checking, so we can make sure we get it right. Because better we get it right than
yeah.
I'm just saying stuff and. I'm 100% wrong, so, props to you for double-checking, making sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, my bad, Victor Wembanyama. You did have a couple of bad games rebounding-wise, but overall, you've been great, so props to you. But yeah, let's shift gears. The Royal Rumble, man. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, it was a good Royal Rumble. Could have been better. There wasn't any special surprises this year that really stood out to me. Usually there is, but this year there wasn't. And I feel like the main event, the championship match, should have been at the end. It shouldn't have been at the beginning of the show like that.
Yeah,
I don't know what they were thinking. Started off with did the female Royal Rumble start first? I'm thinking it did start first, right?
The women's Royal Rumble started first.
Yeah, okay, so that was perfect. That was perfect.
Yeah, I thought that was a great decision with that.
But then they had the championship match, the Fatal 4-Way, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, LA Knight, Randy Orton. That should have ended the show.
It could have been the second-to-last match before the men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Or in WWE's mentality, they probably would have had the United States title Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens match sandwiched in between both matches.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, if it was me, I would have definitely had Cody. I would have had the Royal Rumble match. You could debate either one, the Royal Rumble or the the title match. I guess since it's the Royal Rumble event, I guess you could put the Royal Rumble at the end like they did. But then you have the title Roman Reigns match because most likely he's not gonna lose the title at Royal Rumble anyway. So there's no suspense in that sense. So that should have been the second to last match. Then you could have had the Logan Paul match for the second match of the night, and then you would have the second match of the night, and then you would have had what they did right. The only thing they literally got right was the women's Royal Rumble. I mean, Bayley was the perfect winner. Jordan Grace was was the big surprise of the night. Her making her WWE debut, even though she's a TNA Knockouts champion, and had a great performance. You had Cargill, debuting in the WWE as well.
Yeah, that was nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, you had that moment with her and Bianca Belair. So yeah, it was a great the women's Royal Rumble was really good.
Yeah, I think it was better than the men's.
Yeah, definitely, easily better than the men's. Naomi returned. So yeah, the women's Royal Rumble was way better than the dudes one. Jay Cargill literally eliminated Nia Jax by herself. Like, that was, insane. Two women to eliminate her. Trying to think what else. So yeah, of course Bayley won. I think Bayley and Liv Morgan both eliminated her. If I already served me right. What else? Okay, the Roman Reigns successfully defended the title against AJ Styles, LA Knight, and Randy Orton. Fatal 4-Way match. No surprise there. Logan Paul, he defeats Kevin Owens to retain the WWE United States Championship. When he, used the brass knucks and, knocked out Kevin Owens. And then, wasn't that when Kevin Owens took the brass knucks and hit him, and then afterwards the ref saw it and then he got disqualified?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think that was that event, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think that's what happened. Like, because Kevin Owens was gonna win it, but the referee saw it just before he made the three count. So that's how Logan retained the title via disqualification. And then, of course, last but not least, you had the Cody Rhodes, defeat CM Punk to be the last man standing in the Royal Rumble. And then afterwards, I'm trying to think. Wasn't it last SmackDown when the Rock was it?
Are you talking about the press conference?
No, not the press conference. When Rock whatchamacallit, he was talking to Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes gave him the spot. I think that was last week's SmackDown.
That was
the day before the
I believe so, yeah. I believe that was on SmackDown. Or actually, was that on Raw? Now I'm thinking, I'm trying to remember.
Let me do the math in my head. Because we must have missed a week.
No, yeah, wasn't that on Raw?
No, wait. Let me do the math here.
No, it wasn't on Raw, actually.
It was
because Cody confronted the... Cody had an exchange with Seth on Raw. And so that was on, that was on the last SmackDown.
Yeah, not yesterday's SmackDown, but
The week before.
The week before that.
Yeah.
The day before Royal Rumble.
No, it wasn't the day before Royal Rumble.
Yeah, because the Royal Rumble... let me do the math.
The Royal Rumble was on January 27th.
27.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yes, right. Yeah, so yeah, right, because it would make no sense for him to have the issue.
He had the exchange with Rock on the first.
Because
February 1st.
No, you mean the second.
The second, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because it would make no sense for him to have the issue with the Rock if he didn't win the Royal Rumble yet.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm like, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the math. The math is a math thing. So, yeah, that's what happened. We didn't have the show last week because of the Royal Rumble. And then he lost. Wait. Okay, right. Okay, yeah, I see now. Because it happened on 26th. No, actually, the Royal Rumble was 27th of January. The Rock returned on the February 2nd, where he gave Cody Rhodes the advice to let him be the, fight Roman instead. And then afterwards, then Monday is when Roman Reigns was, when The Rock, I think, came back again and he changed his mind, Cody Rhodes changed his mind or something like that, and then that led up to the confrontation on Thursday night, and man, that was a crazy exchange, The Rock officially turned heel and, slapped the taste out of the mouth of Cody Rhodes, what was your thoughts on that?
Well, I think initial plan was for it to be Roman Reigns
mm-hmm.
once CM Punk got injured and couldn't compete in a Rumble. Well, actually, I think the initial plans was for CM Punk to win the Rumble and for CM Punk to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I think that was the original plan. But because CM Punk got injured, the next option was to have Rock against Roman Reigns, mm-hmm. and to have Cody win it, and then to have Cody face off against Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
But then Seth Rollins got injured, so then it was that they thought, okay, maybe we could have Roman Reigns against Cody, but Rock got in picture, so then they changed it to Rock against Roman Reigns. But then the fans didn't like that. Mm-hmm. The fans voiced their opinion, and the fans wanted to see Cody get the shot instead of the Rock. So now they changed it again. Now it looks like it's going to be Cody versus Roman Reigns. So mm-hmm. that's what I think happened. That's my theory.
Yeah. I agree with you, except I don't think CM Punk was ever going to get a title shot against Roman Reigns. I think he was always going to get this title shot against Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, when he made his debut at
it was looking like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were setting it up, Seth Rollins is cursing that CM Punk is back and all this stuff. And so, yeah, they definitely was trying to create the Seth Rollins versus CM Punk match. Once he got hurt, then Rock, got in control of the board, the TKO board stuff, and I guess decided that he's ready to have the match because they were originally going to have the match last year. Where Cody Rhodes ended up trying to finish his story last year, and he wasn't able to, so now he's trying to finish his story again. And the weirdest thing happened: the fans turn on The Rock again. This is like The Rock's fourth heel turn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like. The Rock was the baby face, blue chipper, Intercontinental Champion. The fans chanting Rocky sucks, Rocky die, Rocky die. Then he joined the Nation, first heel turn. Then the fans love him after he turned heel and became the Rock that we all know and love. Then he became a baby face when he left the Nation. And then they had the Survivor Series event where they were going to finally crown a new champion between him or Mankind, who was, the representative of the corporation at that time. And then at the end of the match, Vince, pulled a Montreal screw job for the second year in a row at the Survivor Series and revealed that The Rock is the new corporate champion. So that was The Rock's second heel turn. Then, of course, the fans loved him after that. Him feuding with The Rock. With Stone Cold. Then Rock eventually turned into a baby face again, feuding against the McMahons. Then he started doing the Hollywood movies. He came back, fought Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar beat him for the title for the first time, for his first title win. Fans booed him. He came back the following year, 2023, as the Hollywood Rock. The words, same, rinse and repeat. He was a heel. The fans loved him as a heel. He turns back to a baby face, and then so forth and so forth. Now, fast forward to 2024, fans are saying, die, Rocky, die, like it's 1996. He turns heel, and guess what? After this whole smoke settles and clear from this storyline, the fans will eventually love him again. So, it's just insane. I just never thought in a million years that the fans would be saying Rocky sucks. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, right now there's a lot of love for Cody Rhodes. They want him to finish that story. So now he's going to be able to finish it. And we'll see what happens at WrestleMania now that he gets a shot at Roman Reigns. I think you might still see, you could possibly see Cody against Rock maybe at WrestleMania.
So.
You could see him fight Rock on night one and then maybe fight Roman Reigns in night two.
To determine who's going to face Roman Reigns for that title.
Yeah, you could see that. And you might even see a tag team match at Elimination Chamber with Rock and Roman Reigns against Cody and Seth?
Probably because
possibly
because now him Rock and Roman Reigns have this brief alliance with each other. Are they trying to force this dream match to happen? And as you saw prior to that, the same day prior to the WrestleMania press conference, The Rock went on Pat McAfee's show and basically coined he showed a little shades of his heel character that he would manifest later that night. And he called the Cody Rhodes. He said there's three people, you know, in this equation. There's Cody Rhodes. There's the Cody Rhodes fans, and I quote, the Cody crybabies, which is, you know, what he's calling the Cody Rhodes fans, you know, who are hell bent on seeing him finish the story. So now that he turned heel, I'm guessing he's gonna call all the Cody Rhodes fans Cody crybabies now, no matter if they're legit Cody Rhodes fans or just the ones who are, you know, the ones sending death threats to his daughter, you know, in real life. So, I mean, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
And another, you know, wrestling news, congrats to Sting and Darby Allin for Sting winning his first ever title in AEW. And most likely the last title he's going to win in AEW, because I think the last pay-per-view event of his career is going to be, I think, next month. So congrats to him. He defeated... I think Big Bill and I'm trying to remember who was the other person he defeated on Rampage. Let me see. I'm trying to see right here. Hold on 1 second. Let's see. Let's see. Okay, Oh yes, here we go. Him and Darby Allin defeated Big Bill and Ricky Starks for the tag team titles.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't remember it was Ricky Starks who was the other person that they defeated.
Okay.
But, you know, congratulations to Sting and Darby Allin. You know,
yes, congrats.
You know, most likely the last title he'll win in his illustrious career. I'm trying to think if there's any major free agent signing that the Mets or the Yankees did this offseason recently that we didn't cover.
Nothing that I've heard of in the past few weeks.
Yeah, the Yankees, there's still rumors that Yankees might sign Blake Snell, but at a much cheaper deal. But, you know, we'll have to wait for that. On the Mets side, Mets signed Fujinami or something like that. He was this flame. You probably familiar with him. He was a flame throwing reliever, Japanese pitcher with the Orioles. But he had like command problems. Mets, you know, they signed them to a deal. They re-signed Ottavino.
Oh, you talking about Fujinami?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a guy, you know, with huge upside, but, you know, he has command issues. Trying to think if there's somebody else. Well, Diaz, you know, he finally returned with the team, warming up. Billy Epler, the former Mets GM, he's placed on the ineligible list for the 2024 season. So he won't be able to be hired by any team in Major League Baseball until the end of after the World Series. So, and if you remember, he was accused of falsifying players being hurt to put on the IL. So as a result, you know, the Mets fired him, and you know, he's suspended for this whole year. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I'm pretty sure we talked about the Harrison Bader signing from a few weeks ago. He was
you mentioned
Pete Alonso's college teammate. So, and of course, he had success with the Yankees, great defensively, and I think he played well in the playoffs a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, hopefully the Mets can get lightning in the bottle with him. But, you know, time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, I mean, he's a good player, good defensive player as well. He should be good for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. But, yeah, I guess we'll, you know, we'll see. Time will tell. Anything you'd like to say before, you know, we head out of here?
Check out my show, iMac. Have a great show tonight planned. The commercial trivia and Super Bowl. So check your local listings for that later tonight and come back here next week. Check out Sports of Religion only on Block Talk Radio every Saturday night at 11.
All right, you're the guy. Come back next week. Check out the Sports of Religion coming up next week. Well, we'll give our review of the Super Bowl, and we'll find out who wins between the Chiefs and the 49ers. And, of course, check out iMac. You know, he's going to have the special episodes coming up tonight, very soon. So, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Sports Urban Legend. This is Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.